last weekend I was over at Avivi Miento, just enjoying being with my friends and some of our family over in Bogota. And Julia, I think, said, I went to say, please pray for us for a healing anointing. I actually didn't get chance because they brought it up first. And they were really saying that learn to walk in the anointing. And, you know, I'm almost 60 years old. I'm not quite. I'm 59 this month. And that's another year to go. And it was funny. Sometimes there's a sense of is it time for the youngsters to kind of take their place? And it always is time for the youngsters to take their place. But while I was away, it's funny, I felt the Lord say really clearly, do you want one last adventure? And it was he said it so sweetly, and by that my feeling is he's going to take us on an adventure of walking in his anointing and seeing his signs and wonders, seeing him heal the sick and transform lives. And so that's the journey we're on. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. You started last week with the person of Moses. And oh my goodness, where do you start with Moses? We could spend the next year there, but we're just going to pull a few little bits out. Last week, Juliet spoke about the burning bush. This week, I want to talk a little bit about his encounters with Pharaoh. And it's very important we understand that the Exodus is the central story of the New Testament, where the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob reveals his name, Yahweh. And he comes to fulfill his promise and deliver his people. Yahweh is a rescuer. He is the deliverer of his people. He is the healer of his people. He hears our cry and brings freedom into our lives. So he sends Moses and Aaron to the most powerful ruler on earth to demand that his people are released and free to worship. And it's interesting, there's about three things that Moses is concerned about. Firstly, whether or not he is the person to do it. You know, he says, I'm not sure this is me. I don't speak well. Secondly, he says, what if the Israelites won't even believe me? You know, last time I tried to help them out, it didn't go well. And then thirdly, how on earth will I get Pharaoh to believe me? And you know, my observation is that these are the same questions most of us ask. You know, am I really God's man or woman to do this? Me? Who am I? What if people don't believe what I say? And thirdly, how will I get the rulers of this world to listen to me? And what I want to talk a little bit about is really the role of signs and wonders. Our God is a God of signs and wonders. And a wonder is something that halts people in their tracks. It makes them stop and stare. And a sign points them to someone else. A wonder is meant to catch our attention. A sign is meant to help us engage with Jesus Christ. And, you know, signs and wonders bring people out of deception into the light by the glory of God. God is more powerful than the things that control or deceive us. Let me say that again. God is more powerful than the things that control or deceive us. Absolutely. You see, God says, I love this. I've got a visual aid. This actually came from Wales. It was the first time we went. Do you know, we were in Wales on Thursday. We had a wonderful time. It's becoming family down there. And the most precious thing was a man, he was a police sergeant, came forward and rededicated his life to Jesus. And I tell you, you would not want to argue with this guy. He was a big guy. And it was just so sweet that just as the love of Jesus touched him, he said, I'm coming home. So God says to Moses, he says, see that shepherd's staff. He says, you ought to throw it down. And he does that, and it turns into a snake. How cool is that? Then he says, see your hand? Just tuck it in your coat. And he pulls it out, and it's leprous. And it's, oh, my goodness. And he says, put it back in. And it went in, and it was clean. And then he says, you're going to take some water from the Nile, and you're going to pour it out, and it's going to turn to blood. Now, I don't know about you. And then off Moses and Aaron go to the people. I think on the way, he practiced. Okay. This is what I've got to do. This is how they're going to listen to me. I've got to throw my staff down. He throws his staff down. And my hunch is nothing happened. All right, and he's practicing, and he's going, maybe I didn't throw it down hard enough. Maybe there's a special prayer. You know, what's going on? And he's getting closer and closer. He arrives with the people, and I'm summarizing this. You can read this as Exodus 4. And to his relief, he throws his staff down and it turns into a snake. And the people believe, the Israelites believe him. Okay, he performs his signs and they go, we believe. Okay, just like you believe right now. Because we've been in God's presence and we can do anything, right? 18. Okay. But we're going to learn what it is to flow in the anointing. Okay, so here we go. If you've got a Bible, find Exodus chapter 5. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. First thing I want to say to you is, when the presence of the Lord comes, things often get harder, not better. Because often we think, oh, great, God's here now, it's all going to be okay. Actually, what happens is it gets worse, because as Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, I don't know who the Lord is. In fact, you people are lazy. I'm going to make it worse for you. So you're not only going to have to make bricks. Now, I'm not going to give you the straw to make the bricks. You're going to have to go and find it, and you're going to have to make the same number of bricks. Now, when we get to verse 21, this is the same believing group of Israelites that have seen the staff change into a snake. This is what they say. May the Lord look on you, they're talking to Moses, and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh, and his officials have put a sword in their hand to kill us. You see, it's just got worse. It hasn't got better. And the Lord says to Moses, now you will see what I can do. I'm going to make myself known to you. And the Lord would say the same to us. I'm going to make myself known to you. You see, God births his will in us. As we've been looking at these Bible heroes, everything needs to be faithed over. And this is a word the church needs to hear today. So flip over to Exodus 6:6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Amen. Now, we're going to learn to, as we read the word of God, to so believe it that we're up on our feet cheering. Because if we believe that that's a word for today, we'll be cheering because God has spoken. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it again. And you're going to stand up and cheer because we're going to take it as the word for us, for this church, for today. All right? It's not too scary. I know we're in church. It's like you, as you stand up, you can hold on to your chair and your chair will come with you, okay? Here we go. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. That's more like it. You see, when the presence of the Lord comes, things often get harder, not better, because God is establishing His will in our lives, and He wants us to believe Him. The battle is always over worship. The devil hates us worshiping, because worship brings us into the light. And if we will remain faithful in this process of Him establishing and rescuing, or in New Testament language, if we will keep running the race to the finish line of blessing. That's number one. Number two, God hardens hard hearts. God hardens hard hearts. He never hardens soft hearts. Pharaoh's heart was already hard. Who is the Lord? The Lord just hardens it more to display His power and glory. And you read about it in chapter 14. The Lord never hardens soft hearts, but He does soften hard hearts. You know, Paul tells the Romans, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. What's Paul saying? That the restraining hand of God is upon every life. You know, sometimes we look at the world and go, oh my goodness, look at all the sin, look at all the difficulties. If His hand wasn't restraining the wickedness, no one would survive. But what Paul says is sometimes He withholds His restraining hand and the full horror of sin is displayed. And for Pharaoh, as God pulls His hand off, Pharaoh's heart becomes harder. This is why when David sins, he says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart to you, God, you will not despise. You see, if ever you feel your heart getting hard, fall on your face before the Lord. You know, if you feel you're getting cross with people, love your enemies. Oh God, bless them. Why? Because we're temples of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth, Matthew 5:5. Who was the meekest man who walked the earth? Moses. Numbers 12:3. You see, the way into the glory of God is humility. So every time I'm away, I get to see a little bit of the picture of this amazing church. And this time they took me to their school. And they have a school with 500 or 600 pupils that right from the age of, I don't know, 4 to 18. So it would be different, but they get up to A level there. And they've got, it's beautiful. They've got basketball courts and tennis courts, and it's just on the outskirts of the city. But they've got a prayer garden. And the arch of the prayer garden is intentionally low. So in order to walk into the garden, you have to bow. You have to bow your head in prayer. But the children can walk straight in because they can reach their hands to heaven. And I love that. And so the way into the glory of God for us all is always to bow in his presence. Number three, don't be discouraged by the world's power. So the gauntlet is thrown down. Okay, it is the power of God against the power of Pharaoh. And the Lord says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. So Aaron throws down the staff on the floor before Pharaoh. The problem is Pharaoh's magicians throw theirs on the ground and they become snakes as well. One of the reasons today there are not signs and wonders in the church is because we've become more enamored by what the world can do than what God can do. You see, we wonder about the wonders of science, our engineering accomplishments, phones and communications, medical advances. And none of these things are bad, except when we substitute them for the power of God. Well, we don't need your power, God, because we can do all these things. So Moses throws his staff down, but the magicians do the same. Moses strikes the Nile and it turns to blood, but the magicians do the same. The thing I love is, though, that when Moses throws his staff down, his snake eats their snakes. Yes! We always get the bigger snake. And then, Exodus 8, the frogs come out of the streams and the magicians can do the same. So there's frogs coming out, but there's a change now. They cannot undo it. So they're making frogs come out of the streams, but they can't get rid of them. They can create a curse, but they can't rescue people from the curse. Do you know, we live in a world around us creating curses by our advancements, but they can't rescue the people from the curses they create. Only Jesus can redeem us from the curse by hanging on the tree. Galatians 3:10. Okay? You see, some people are caught in the curse of the world. Addiction, greed, pornography, low self-image, all things that have been created by our great advancements. But we can't rescue people from it. We can just create it. Number four, God is greater. Because Moses strikes the dust and gnats start coming from the dust. But the scriptures say, Exodus 8:19, the magicians can't do this. And not only that, the magicians say, this was the finger of God. You see, if you want to walk in signs and wonders, if you want to see signs and wonders in the church, you have to take the journey through. And the world can do a lot, but you have to keep going because God always proves himself greater. He can do way more than the world. But if you look and go, well, the world can fix my headache, the world can fix my cancer, which is all good, and say we don't need it in the church, then we have a problem. Because we know actually the world can do lots, but there's lots they can't do. And that's why we need a demonstration of the glory of God. Jesus says, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then truly the kingdom has come amongst you. The finger of God. Jesus says, my rule and reign is amongst you. You see, the sign of the kingdom of God is freedom. The kingdom of the devil trembles when men and women walk free by the outstretched hand of the Lord. Number five, God protects his people. You see, as the plagues go, as we see the story of people being released from Egypt, this is what God says to Moses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies. This is Exodus 8:21. Even the ground will be covered with them. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I am the Lord. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This sign will occur tomorrow. So what we see is a distinction between God's people and the world. What happens to people in the world does not happen to God's people. So when God is moving in signs and wonders, it is clear who is his and who is not his. We are not the same. The favor of the Lord is upon us. People need to see the distinction. You see, the flies won't infect us. Our livestock will not die. Our bodies will not be infected with boils. The hail from heaven will not destroy our property, and the locusts will not devour our crops, and we will not walk in darkness because we are his people, the flock of his pasture. There's a distinction. There's a difference. And as we seek his presence, as we learn to move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we do not need to come under the curses that come on the world. There are difficulties hitting the world. There are difficulties hitting this nation. And the Lord says, I've made a distinction. You don't need to be under that difficulty. You can step out of it by walking with me. I know who is mine and I know who's not. One more thing. The Lamb brings our deliverance. I love it. The Lord says, just go and ask all your neighbors for their silver and gold. You'd read the story. And the scriptures say, he made them disposed to give them all their silver and gold. It's really interesting that all the greed we see around the world, you understand that all that wealth is coming to us. God's humble people. I tell you, the Lord's going to make them disposed. He can do it. We see it in Egypt. And the Israelites are told to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorframe. And so they kill the lamb and they put the blood on the left one, on the right one, and over the top. And then they're to go in and eat the lamb in haste. They're to be dressed and ready to go. It says, you know, tuck your shirt in, get your belt on, and be ready to go because my deliverance is coming. And it's really interesting that the Israelites are not that fussed about the blood on the doorstep because they're inside feasting on the lamb. And I want to say to you today, you don't need to be too fussed about how you put the blood on the doorstep, you know, whether you put it in a cross, whether you put it in a stripe, how much you put on. The issue is being inside feasting on the lamb in his presence. That's what Christians do. We're in his presence worshiping him. But in all of Egypt, the destroyer, the devil, is entering homes and killing the firstborn. And there is wailing in the land. And Pharaoh comes to Moses and says, get out of here. Leave, leave, leave. They're desperate for you to go. Let me tell you, when you come to Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes we're worried the devil wants to hang on to us. When you're filled with the light, when you're filled with Jesus, he says, get out of here. I don't want you. You're going to cause way too much trouble. We've got a lady who's been sick and she's been in and out of hospital. And she always has in her handbag is full of tracks of how you get healed. You know, they get her out of hospital as soon as they can. She goes around the ward, just handing them out to people. You can be healed. Let me tell you about Jesus. The devil does not want her in hospital. The devil does not want you in his camp once you have Jesus in your life. Once you start believing his word, once you start understanding, you are a distinct person. You are marked by his blood. He does not want you anywhere near anyone. And that's what's starting to happen in this place. You see, when the Lord frees you, he just says, go, please. The most powerful leader on earth bows to the King of Kings. And you know, 1 million people walk out of Egypt to worship Yahweh in a night. That's what God does. That's his hand. That's when he stretches out his hand. And I believe we're living in this day. The Lord is leading us out to lead us in. He's calling us out in his presence to lead us into his promises and his goodness. He's calling us to worship. Feast on the Lamb, people. Enjoy Jesus. You know, I'm so grateful he gave us the joy card. You know, there are so many cards he could have given us, but no, here, I saw you partying last week. We were finishing church and I saw some people all down here dancing to the music. And the guys in Bogota said, "Is that your church?" And I said, "Oh, yes, it is." They're throwing a party. He gave us the joy card. Why? Because we can feast on the Lamb. And his glory comes. He loves it, but he's stretching out his hands, performs signs and wonders to free people. But he's saying, who will go for me? Who will walk with me? Who will run this race and keep running it into blessing? Run through the difficulties, even if it gets harder, even if it feels like they're not listening. Who will keep going? Will you believe that the person in you is greater than he who's in the world? And will you keep fixed on my miracles, my glory, what I'm going to do? And I will move you from doing the things the world can do to the things that the world can only dream about, and you will see my glory. That's what Jesus has called for his church, and that's why signs and wonders need to be in the church. I'm done. Stand up. All right. Now look, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you are missing out. The Lord Jesus Christ saw and heard your cry, and he left all of the glory of heaven to come to earth. He lived a victorious life. Sometimes we say a perfect life, but he lived a victorious life because he overcame the world. But we crucified him, and he died for each person's sin. All you have ever done and all you will ever do was laid on Jesus at the cross. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in the whole of eternity, the Father couldn't feel the Son. The Son couldn't feel the Father. The Father had gone nowhere. But as the sin of the world was poured on him, it was broken. And the loneliness and the desolation and the horror of sin was poured onto Jesus. And he died and he went into the ground. But the ground couldn't hold him. And on the third day, he rose again. So not only was our sin forgiven, we could live the new life that he came to win for us. That's what's on offer this morning. Now, if you want that new life, if you want your sins forgiven and you want to live for Jesus Christ, come down here now. Maybe you're coming home after a long while. Maybe this is the first time. Come on down. And we're going to pray and introduce you to Jesus. Where are you?